world.
What up, bros?
What up, bros?
Why do you make that so long?
I'm milking it.
Welcome to Bro Meets World.
When it's Bro Meets World.
Your boy Meets World found cast. I'm Siege.
I am Tony Coitus. How are you, sir?
Mr. Coitus. Speaking of Coitus, we had the privilege, had the joy, some would say, to watch the latest release, Joyride, just came out in theaters.
So excited. Continuing our summer movie series.
We watched Joyride, and it was a joy. It was a ride. And we have an episode on it. But I will say this will not be like our regular episode. We did less of a recap this time, and we did more of an interview.
A class discussion, if you will.
Class discussion episode.
Yeah, I'm really excited we're continuing our summer movie series. We had seen the trailer for Joyride a while ago, and yes, we got really excited about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really excited about the representation. Like, between The Blackening and this, the fact that, like, the funniest movies I've seen all year involve just, like, focusing in on the details of the lives of people of color. Like, what a summer, bro. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, we got Little Mermaid, we got Spider-Man. Like, we're out here, yo.
We're out,
like,
here. And
people
we
of color are representing. Yeah, totally.
We're doing so good.
And, like, I was really excited to see this movie and talk to you about it, obviously, because it's one of those movies that
I fought for this movie, and I want it on record. I fought for us to do this movie because I assumed just from the trailer that it would be something worth talking about. But also, I watched it and I was like, man, this movie deserves to be shared, but I just didn't feel comfortable doing it all alone.
And that's it. It's like when you said, hey, let's do this movie, I was like, oh, I'm down to do this movie, but I don't feel like I have all of the perspective needed to have the conversation that I want to have. But then you were just like, yo, what if I'm able to get someone who can add a little bit better perspective to the conversation? And that changed things quite a bit. Marmar
Yisa 2022 is what she's now at on TikTok. Yep.
She is a Asian American content creator who is killing it on TikTok right now. And when you sent me her
5,000 followers already,
she's doing a fantastic job of specifically analyzing movies and television and just pop culture in general. So when you were like, hey, we got her, I was like, dope, now we can have this conversation.
Absolutely. So let's not waste any more time. You guys, we enjoyed the movie. We suggest that you check out the movie, but after you do, listen to our conversation with Marmar. Welcome, Marmar.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. That this was very last minute. We found you. I was raving about Joyride on Threads. And I was like, we need to have a guest. T and I talked about this. We were like, we enjoyed the movie, but I was like, I do not feel comfortable enough speaking to this movie without getting all of the, like, nuances that this movie clearly had that I didn't get. But nonetheless, I was like, this movie deserves to be talked about because we absolutely enjoy it. What's your journey with Joyride?
Oh, wow. Honestly, like, when this movie came out, it was very kind of just refreshing to kind of just see three Asian actors kind of in a raunchy comedy. I was like, wait, I have never seen this before. And then it just obviously piqued my interest. And then once, like, you know, the promotions and the marketing started rolling out and the first trailer dropped, it was just like, it was kind of lightning in a bottle in a sense. I was like, wow, like, just right out the gates, like, it was just like they did not hold back, and then they were just so just all in, and then I was just obsessed with that, and obviously even more obsessed with just the representation of this movie and kind of seeing at least Asian female characters in a way that we haven't really seen them portrayed, which is just messy, chaotic, just horny as fuck, if I can swear.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
The podcast for that.
Okay. But yeah, it was just like just so, like, authentically, like, just raw in that in regard. Yes, it was just so nice and so refreshing to see. So I was just so excited to have this movie, and then I personally have seen it twice already, and I just can't stop talking about this movie, and I'm going to see it a third time tomorrow. So
love it.
Keep rewatching this.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So again, you came recommended to us by someone, and we were so glad that you said yes, tell our listeners a little bit about you, what you do, and like why you would be a good person to talk about this movie.
Yeah, so obviously my name is Marmar. As you guys said, yeah, I go by Marmar Yusa on TikTok, Instagram. I do have a Letterboxd and Serialized too for TV reviews if you guys want to follow me there. But I overall just love talking about like my favorite movies and TV shows and just providing just media commentary through just my perspective, which is I am an Asian American woman. And so I, in many ways, can just kind of pull from my experiences of how I see certain media through those lenses. And then, you know, just offering a different POV or viewpoint in certain discourse and conversations about the media that we consume. So that's why I think Joyride, for me at least, is something that I feel like I feel myself being seen on screen in many ways. So it's nice to have that movie and have that movie be, like, you know, representing different facets of myself and different people in our community. So,
absolutely. It was funny when I saw the trailer, I was very much like, oh, they're doing Girls Trip, but with an Asian cast. And I was like, at first I was like, I love that Asian Americans, Asians in general get like their version of this story. I don't think I've seen it before. Mm-hmm. And I was really excited to watch it. But also after a while, I just enjoyed the movie for what it was. Like, again, I felt like very much, I think in one of your movies, you said that they kind of rolled this out with The Blackening. And I was like, very similarly, where it's like, yes, it's made for a very specific culture, but it also it can be enjoyed by anyone.
Exactly. It's a great balance of doing both, like where it still has universal themes and emotions that anyone can really like resonate with, can like, you know, it tugs on your heartstrings, but at the same time can make you just like laugh out loud, like just rolling in the theater. But at the same time, like there's certain, you know, things that like can speak to certain people from different communities on a level that makes it even funnier. And it's like, it's still funny, but like, you know, like it speaks to that community a little bit deeper, which is incredible. And we obviously love seeing that kind of representation on this big scope and scale.
What I love about this movie is that, like, you know, Siege mentioned, like, there's a little bit of Girls Trip in there. There's a little bit of Hangover. There's a little bit of even, like, Superbad that I got, you know. But what at the base of it is a very, you know, authentic story about, you know, a Chinese, well, quote unquote, Chinese adopted baby looking for her birth mother in a homeland that she's never been to before. And that is something where it's like, you can't put a Seth Rogen, you can't put a you know, even like a Queen Latifah in this film that's so specific to the origin in the way that I feel is respectful, but also brings into brings in all the humor of all of those other elements rolled into it as well.
Oh, definitely. I think it's, I've seen a lot of reviews where it was, it's like, it's a story that we are, it's like a common story, or like not a common story, but like a story that we are familiar with, was, you know, those like buddy road trip stories, but just taking that, but, and kind of giving a refreshing, like culturally specific in many ways, like twist to it. That is, again, like still has a good balance that anyone can find some sort of laughter and some sort of thing to like connect with in this movie, which, yeah, it's amazing. And but Seth Rogen, the fact that he is the producer on this movie, I think just makes it even better. That's why I think you get the super bad and we get all of those kind of elements that we love from those 2000s, 2010s comedies, and then like kind of just being more relevant.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I got Euro Trip from this, which is like, and I felt like this movie was a love letter to those type of movies, like the kind of raunchy 2000s comedies. Like it felt very inspired by that. And I like laughed out loud. I love that this movie was like not afraid to go there on any level, whether it was race or gender or whatever it was. It was like, we're here to have fun. And this movie was just fun. I cannot tell you, like, my theater was laughing the entire time. This is so a glad. Very funny script.
And much like my experience in watching The Blackening, where there was inside jokes that I was laughing at that other people in the theater weren't, multiple times there were inside jokes that I went over my head that the Asian crew next to me were dying laughing over. And I love that. I love that it was just like, I don't need something. I don't need to get everything. Yes. I love that there are things that are so authentic that it doesn't need to be for me. It can be for them because it's not for me. And I can appreciate that.
I love that you said that too. Like, and then, yeah, even with the, when I also personally watched The Blackening too, and I think I love that it can speak to different communities on different levels. And yeah, like it's, I love that it's like an understanding of like, not everything is for me. not every piece of media is for me. So, but I can respect that there are certain things that other people are going to enjoy more than I will. I can still have enjoyment and find things that I can resonate with, but other things that I can respectfully, you know, just not center myself in that.
And I I've never been on a private plane, but I watch Succession. So like, like certain things you could just enjoy because of the, like the overall human experience of it. And I thought this one was like really great. Like the idea of being a person with a foot in both worlds. I was like, oh, I get that. The idea of with Audrey, what I love is there's a moment in the movie where she is kind of like confronted literally by racism. And she decides at that moment that she's going to be better. She's going to be the best version that she can be in order to like prove something to them. And I was like, relatable content.
Exceptionalism.
Exactly. Yes. And then the idea of like at a different point in time, Lolo just being like, look, I am who I am and I'm not trying to be anybody else. I was like, I also could relate to that of like having a, oh, now that I know who I am, this is me, and you either like that or you don't. Like, I really, again, like I felt like a lot of these characters that we were seeing were good representations that you don't get to see very often, but are very common.
Yeah, totally agree.
Who do you guys feel like is the character you relate to the most in the movie?
Okay. I have my answer now, but like, yeah.
Okay, I can go first. Honestly, speaking of Audrey, I think I relate to Audrey on like the most in terms of just feeling like I always have to prove myself to other people in spaces that don't look like me. And I think that was even like just straight out the gate, like this movie told you that this is the type of person. And the reason why I relate to it so much is because this with just the Asian community and the model minority myth, I think it were very upfront with like, yeah, like they're the only two Asian people in their town. Yep. And for Audrey, the having to feel like I need to fit in, I need to assimilate to this kind of culture in order to be accepted in this space was incredibly relatable, especially for anyone really, just like wanting to feel accepted in different places. And then for her to, like, and she even mentioned too, when going to China, and it's like, oh my God, everyone looks like me here. And kind of having that culture shock, even though she looked like on the surface looks like them, but like lifestyle wise and like her background and everything, it's just, yeah, it's couldn't like night and day in that regard.
Absolutely. All right, really quickly, I just want to like do a rundown of the cast while we're talking about these characters. We get Ashley Park, who plays Audrey. Again, she's like kind of like the uptight one who is going back. She's going to China for both work and then also the possibility of finding her birth mother. Then we get Sherry Cola, who is Lolo. This is her Chinese American friend who is Chinese through and through, but also like authentically herself. Then we get Sabrina Wu, who plays Deadeye, which is Lolo's cousin. A K-pop fan. She just kind of is going along for the ride. And then Stephanie Hsu, is that how we said it? Yeah. Stephanie Hsu, who plays Kat, which is Audrey's college roommate, now a Chinese soap opera star. Oh. So those are
like a film star.
Now. Also, by the way, I wanted to like run through this a little bit so we can like see which one we felt the most with. But this is like our pre-spoiler conversation. We have to have a spoiler-filled conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Because this movie is just, I'm so excited to talk about it. All right. But T, which one of the characters did you relate to the most?
Oh, you know, I agree. I think Audrey's the one I relate to the most. You know, it obviously not in the specificity of her character being half like Asian and raised by white people, but I am, you know, half Black and half Spanish. And so I've talked to you about this, how like for Spanish people, I'm never Spanish enough. From Black people, I never feel Black enough. And there always feels like there isn't a place where I can just be accepted for who I am. And so I related really strongly to her. Like at one point, she just kind of like says that point blank, like I'm never enough of one for the other. And it's so frustrating. And I just really strongly related to that. So yeah, her. And I have to be honest, like, there's a part of Lolo that like is my spirit animal. As well. It's just like, it's the chaos. It's the, I don't give a fuck. It's the, like, I'm just going to do what I do. Like I want to be Lola. I want to be her, but it doesn't feel as, as natural. What about you?
I will say that, like, I have, like, it feels very Sex and the City in the sense of, like, mm-hmm. I've been each one of these at one point in time. Mm-hmm. And I would say, like, growing up, I was an Audrey, and it was very much like I wanted to present a specific way. And then I moved into a Kat, which to me, Kat is like the halfway point between Lolo and Audrey in the sense that, like, she has like a crazy past and all this other stuff, but she like wants to present in a very specific way now. And I think that I was like reverse, where it was like I was really like, I grew up in a Christian household and I wanted to present as I'm gay, but I'm not that version of gay. And you know, like, I was very much just like a controlled chaos is how I wanted to see it. But like, you give me two or three drinks and I'm a whole other person. Yeah. And
a butthole full of cocaine, you're a different human
being. A butthole full of cocaine and I'm completely different. Now I feel like I relate most to Lolo. Like, I just felt like Lolo was just like, hey, I'm authentically myself from the very beginning. And this isn't a spoiler because it's like in the trailer. When that kid says something to her and like Audrey's very like, taking it back, and Lolo's just like, fuck you, and it punches him. The whole theater was like, your parents did it right. And so
I was really impressed with the character dynamics, like the friendships that were that we were introduced to, the backgrounds to them, but also the evolution of all of the friendships too. I loved how we humanize Deadeye throughout the movie, and how Deadeye starts as being this very just like wild card character, but ends up you realize just like maybe just being on the spectrum perhaps, or just you know what I mean? Spectrum. Just being just like tragically misunderstood in a way that was like really like, I don't know, something easy to relate to.
I definitely like Deadeye as well too. And like their like arc too. And then I'm also glad that they kind of accommodated, but like, you know, Sabrina Wu is non-binary, and then having Deadeye, you know, at the spoilers, sorry, like, but like, just, you know, I mean, just being able to have Sabrina Wu like be a character that is also who they are as well. So I think I like that evolution as well. And they coming into their own as well too. And then being able to be not just accepted in the group, but also the other like girls to just, you know, like just include that Deadeye and like having them be their full authentic self as well too, being a K-pop stan and all. So it was great. Like, they brought also so much great levity to the to this movie as well too. It was, they're amazing.
Yeah, that's what I loved about Deadeye's character, because Deadeye was brought in, like, even my husband was like, oh wow, I like that they were non-binary, and I like that like they didn't shy away from it. It's not like plastered everywhere, but it's like it's very obvious, and they respect that character for what it is, and they create like a full person whose identity isn't that, like it, like their non-binariness is not their defining trait. There's so much more going on, and like that inclusivity, that representation, I just like I love seeing, and I was like, I'm glad that movies like this exist.
I really love the evolution of Kat's storyline as well, like just this person who is trying so hard to look like on the surface that they have their stuff together, that they're not chaotic, that, you know, they've moved on past these years where they were kind of a shit show, but barely holding it together in the same way. Like, I, you know, I feel like this movie is asking for all the characters to accept their authentic self in a way. And I feel like, you know, her journey to accepting her past and herself for who she is, it kind of mirrors that acceptance journey that we see with Audrey and even Lolo a little bit as well, because you kind of see that she's kind of second guessing herself in the beginning of the movie, whereas towards the end, she's really willing to just like take the steps needed for her dreams. So.
Also, like, I like the conversation with Ronnie Chang's character, Chow, which is the business person that Audrey's trying to get work from, is they have this conversation where Chow's like, how can I work with you if you don't know who you are? And I kind of really appreciate that, like this idea of like, no, if I'm going to be working with you, I need to know who you are, but you don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. And that comes to, you know, that comes out to play a bigger role at the end. And I was like, oh yeah, I actually do think that that's good business in reality. It's like, oh, you want to work with someone, but if you have an identity crisis halfway through this, that's going to affect me. Mm-hmm. I mean, just on a business perspective.
I don't know. When I saw that, I was just like, leave my mama out of this, bro. Like, let me, just sign this paperwork so I can go home. Like, why are you doing this to me?
Well, because it said, you know, I also like this movie talks about community. We are very individualistic in the Western culture, and I do like there, it has its ups and its downs in Eastern, but Eastern culture is very community minded, and like this idea of the people you surround yourself also influence you and influence your decisions, influence how you do business. I just like the lessons that brings up, because it's something that we as a culture, the Western culture, need to be reminded of. Not everything is about you.
Yeah. So, Marmar, I have a question for you. You know, you kind of mentioned that, you know, you hadn't really seen Asian women portrayed like they were in this film, with the raunchiness, with the cursing, with the sexuality. Was there anything about this that was that you were able to connect to? Anything that you felt liberated by? Like, was there any moment where you were just like, wow, I'm so glad they threw that in there for us?
Wait, are we doing spoilers?
Yes. All the
spoilers. Okay. So this point out, just so you know, go see Joyride. We really enjoyed it. We will be having a spoiler-filled conversation because I'm ready for this. Okay. Mama, go.
Oh gosh. I think there are definitely like several moments, I think, where it's just like, wow, I'm glad they kind of it's more, I think, just how what they showcased too was just, you know, like, I think one thing I think is like, at least on the, for the Asian like men, just being able to kind of like be sexualized and be lust over, especially just with the history of just specifically Asian men and how they're always like just asexual or just not desirable. And so to just kind of just see all these men kind of just walk onto your screen and then just, you're just kind of like just taken aback, and then
absolutely,
and then all of them just going ham on each other.
I love that you said that. Tony can tell you, in my notes there's a whole section that just says men, and I'm so glad you mentioned it, because I have been waiting to talk about, I'm gonna list off some male characters here. You get Desmond Kyme, I think it is, who plays Clarence, who is Audrey's fiance, and he comes on screen, and it's just Kat's like
fiance.
It's Kat's fiance, and he's just on screen, and it just like pans down his body. I'm like, yes, that's what we're here for. This is your role, and you're doing it well. You're doing beautiful, sweetie. Then we get Alexander Hodge, who plays Todd, who also is Asian Bay on Insecure.
Yes.
And again, I was like, come on, Asian Bay, getting multiple roles up here, looking good. He let his hair down, and I was like, I'm yours. Whatever. Just take it. Take whatever you want. And then we get Rohan Arora, who plays Arvind. And also Chris Pang, who plays Kenny. And those are the two in the threesome. And I knew where we were going, because we went from the individual mindset to the collective. And I was like, I see where you're going. I see those breadcrumbs, and I'm following you there. But yeah. And then also Ronnie Chang, I mean, who plays Chow. In the movie, they're like, he can get it. I'm like, honestly, he can. I'll say this. Who was your favorite of these men? Because I just needed to talk about these men for a minute.
I would say just Chris Pang. I'm blanking on the name already. What was the South Asian man?
Rohan.
Rohan. Yes, right. Yeah. Rohan and Chris. I mean, especially Rohan. I think when he got on screen, I like was just like took my breath away. I was like, I was hitting my friend. I'm like, who is that? And I'm like, right, like after the movie ended, I was like, Instagram, where I need to find.
Yeah.
That, like, what you said is so important, because I was like, I love that we are getting more Asian heartthrobs. Like, it's not a secret to say that Western media doesn't really promote Asian men as sexy. And this movie was like, we'll show you sexy. And I was like, please do. And also have these men everywhere. I want to see them everywhere. I want to see them all the time. And I also like that, like, as much as I love Henry Gold and
Simi.
Yeah, exactly. I was just gonna say, like, there are several that we can use, but I'm like that it's not the same ones. I like that we're getting new ones and diverse ones. And I liked that with Chris, I don't know if he actually is, but like they had him being Australian.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I love like this diversity even within the Asian community.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that throughout the film that I really appreciated, because I know this about Spanish culture, which is that, like, you know, I was like, oh, we're Spanish, but it's like, no, but you're Puerto Rican, I'm Mexican, she's Colombian. I was just like, is there a difference? Like, I don't know, we're just the same. There is a difference. No, and in this movie,
very big difference.
They have that moment as well where they kind of talk about the differences amongst the Asian community. And again, it looks like a peek behind the curtain. It's just like from a Western, like, you know, America being very black, white, Spanish centric, we really don't have these conversations in our media. And I was just really appreciating the authenticity of it all.
Yeah, I loved, to me, I thought it was funny that whole scene where they're talking about the different types of Asian. Yes. Not only is it like just like the theater was laughing, and then again in one of those ways where I'm like, should y'all be laughing? But either way, we all having fun and it's good. but also the idea that the movie constantly says Americans don't know the difference. So the fact that later comes out to be like one of the key threads in this movie, I enjoyed so much, because I was like, we don't know. For us, Asian is just one thing. And the idea that she would go, like, are you trying to get us canceled? That's Korean. That's a whole different type.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no specific, like, details, or what also had me, like, just laughing, because, like, I just, that hit really differently. Especially when you know those, like, dynamics of the different types of, like, you know, East Asian, Southeast Asian, and then South Asian, and then, like how they interact with one another, too, and they're able to show that, and like not just in educational sense, but also just in a comedic way that people can kind of just grasp and like, oh, okay, I see the dynamics, I see how you guys are operating. T, going back to your first question about like just, and going back to like, I think just with like Asian like women and how we also are represented in a way that can be like very different, like opposite ends of like just being very hypersexualized, but at the same time also like just seeing us like as like just less than human. But it was also nice seeing how much agency these like women had, especially in terms of sexuality.
100%.
Being able to like just like insert, you know, just be assertive in like their like, just these sexual like relationships that they have. Like they were just going all in. It was just nice also seeing that kind of agency and liberation and independence that they had. They're like, you know what, we have one night, I'm gonna go all in and just like have fun and like break a few backs, break a few hips, and break.
Everybody got wrecked that night, literally. Yeah, I loved it. Again, I was like, I need more of this content. Like the whole threesome scene is just pure fun. Like it is fun, it is campy, like everyone is having a good time. But also I like the idea of like you were seeing each character's night at the exact same time. So everyone's having like their own version of a good time. Mm-hmm. And that means for Deadeye, that's something completely different than what it is for Lolo. But I also love what Lolo is doing with Bear Me. Like their whole dynamic and everything felt earned. Everything felt authentic. Even Kat's like trying not to have sex was
repressed so badly that she came to.
It all worked for me, and I it was a great scene.
And Marmar, I'm so glad you said what you did about the agency, because that was one of the major things that I noticed too, was just that these women felt so comfortable. They felt real. They felt like friends of mine. They didn't feel like caricatures of Asian culture that I've seen portrayed in media in the past. Like you said, like sometimes you have these hypersexual, maybe even like these almost geisha themes, or these like sookie sookie long time, like all that bullshit. Like, and then on the opposite end, you have these, you know, Asian women portrayed in media where they're almost like they're too bashful to even consider, you know, being aggressive about sex. Whereas these women just owned it in such a way, in such a comfortable way that I'm like, yeah, I'm rooting for all of you to get laid. I'm rooting for all of you to do all of these things. Yes, let the cocaine bubble explode in your butthole and let's make this happen. Like, I'm rooting for it. I want this for you. But yeah, it was just really easy to just like root for. Like, at no point in the movie did it feel like even the audience was like sex shaming anyone in the film. Everyone was kind of on board with it, because I think of it, again, like the way they owned it as actors. Mm-hmm.
To your point with Lolo, I was like, Lolo is sexually charged, but she's also like all about sexual liberation and sexual acceptance. And it's not like she's just like the sex fiend. It's more of like she has a message that she wants to convey, and she wants people to feel liberated and able to enjoy themselves. And I like that, the taking of like this woman who could be a cliche and could be something that would be gross to look at is actually just so welcoming, and you want her to have as good of a time as anyone else, and you understand her in a way that you feel like even her close friends don't understand her, and that, like, that's really good acting.
The relationship they have, you with Bear, is it? You would think that as soon as they get into the hotel room, they're just gonna be on top of each other. But to your point, they're talking about her dreams. They're talking about what she loves. And it's not something you would guess based off of how she's, you know, so sexually aggressive throughout the beginning of the film. But it's kind of just, it's part of her. It's not all of her. And I love that.
There are two more things I want to say. One is this idea of every character's lifestyle being fought for and validated. Like, there are times where I love what Deadeye's character, where she goes, you know why I like K-pop? Because K-pop loves me back. And you're like, oh my god, it also made me like, Audrey approached it with genuine curiosity when she was, do you know why I love K-pop? And Audrey was like, no, I actually don't, why? And then she gave her explanation. You're like, oh, I'd never want to take this away from you if this is what you have. But then also with Kat's character, who's been lying to her fiance this entire time and pretending to be someone she's not, when Audrey like calls her out for it, Lolo's like, you don't get to shame her for her decisions. Yeah. You don't get to do that. If that's what she wanted to do for her life, that's what she's allowed to do, and you support her as a friend. And I was like, yes, more of this, more of no one here's life decisions are better than the others. Everyone here has a valid reason for living and experiencing the way that they are.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, I 100% agree too. I think, it's just nice to know that. I mean, obviously there's character development throughout this movie, but at the same time, at the same time, they're still holding true to who they are and having and wanting their friends to also, like, you know, just respect that this is their life's choices as well too, while still, you know, growing together. I like that balance. Yeah.
Also, the other part was the casual racism throughout the film that, like, it's constantly addressed. Like, whether it's, like, the idea of Audrey's boss saying, like, all, like, they feel like they're saying all the right things, and she's just like, you just gotta roll with it. Like, that's just what you gotta do when you're dealing with white people. which I really enjoyed. But then also, like, the racism within the groups. Like, the idea, which I did not know, that the moment they find out that, spoiler again, if you've been listening this far, Audrey is not Chinese, she's Korean, and the entire Chinese family is just like, ugh, never mind. I was like, oh, I didn't even know it was like that. But, like, the fact that it is very telling.
It's very, I mean, just a little bit. And so, yeah, it's definitely, it's just, I think, you know, just the homogeny of it all, but also just, like, I think we all, I mean, every culture is different, and that speaks to obviously different, like, you know, just, I'm sure the Hispanic community and, like, Black community, like, there's different, like, you know, sections of, like, communities within that. So I think just, again, knowing, like, those dynamics and, like, you resonate with that more, and, like, them thinking that she's Chinese, but she's a beautiful Chinese, you know, there's, like, just, like, seeing how beautiful she is by their standards, and then realizing that she's Korean, and then, yeah, like, having that kind of, like, switch. And then even when they even said too, like, which I laughed way hard because I am also half Japanese, where they're like, at least she's not Japanese. And I was like, just with the history, just the political history of just Japan. That's why it was just like, again, like those levels of like, you wouldn't get it until you, unless you kind of really knew that. But yeah, even then, like seeing that comedic lens was great.
Well, story-wise, it's still really strong, even if you don't understand all of the complexities behind it. The reason being is that you see Audrey being hesitant to try to connect with her mom, hesitant to connect with her country, to feel as though she's comfortable in this place surrounded by Asians. She feels like a fish out of water in a way that is uncalled for, that she kind of comes to reconcile with. So by the time she learns that she's Korean and not Chinese, she has embrace Chinese culture, and she is finally on board being like, you know what, I didn't realize how much I wanted a homeland, I wanted a community, I wanted to be around people like me. And then for her to get all of that and then instantly it get seemingly taken away from her again, it's heartbreaking. And again, you don't have to understand the complexities, but understanding it adds extra layers to it.
Yes, I agree.
I actually, like, I don't know, did either of you catch that twist coming? Because I caught it only because they kept repeating, Americans don't know the difference. And when they said that right before, I was like, wait a minute. My viewer hat just like, hold on. This is something they keep saying, that people can't tell the difference between different ones. And the moment the adoption agency was like, yeah, they used to send the girls back and forth to Korea, my mind was like, oh my God.
I didn't predict the Korea twist. I did predict the mom being dead and her connecting with whatever family was left from that.
Also, like, when I wanted to talk about casual racism or even like internalized racism, the idea that Audrey, again, is someone who's like, when they're on the train and they're looking at each car, she's like, oh, not these people, they're all sketchy. But the one white girl, she's like, oh, we're safe here. And it's like, this girl was clearly on coke, very clearly on something. And you chose this one only because she's white and you thought it was the safest option. And not only was it not the safest option, the moment the police came into question, the white girl who forced you into this situation,
she white girl,
she
white girled all over y'all.
She literally, like, the fact that they were like, well, we'll just tell them that we had nothing to do with it. And she goes, I was like, yo, I didn't see that coming. White people shiesty. Like,
And again, to your point, when the police show up, they're like, she's like, wasn't me, it was them. I'm just a white American.
Again, tweaking off her ass, but has all the audacity to blame them.
I
think it's, I mean, it's interesting because I know, like, even like when they question or like ask Audrey, like, how can you even like think that like this was the safer car over literally other Asian people? And I think it's, again, going back to just her background, like, it just, she was pulling from her background of like always being in these spaces where she is like the only Asian person amongst white people. So for her, like I think it was just the subconsciously like, oh, like, I'm gonna be with someone that I know, like, I'm more comfortable with, I've been around with more. And not realizing those, like, just kind of the social setting of it all. And like, and then way that like Lolo, Cat, and like Deadeye are probably like, no, I don't think this is safe. Or like, they have that level of understanding. So it was like interesting. Like, it was so many like different like levels to that scene. Definitely. And it just, and overall was still funny. So.
And it's a really a commentary too, because I mean, she has white parents. So the faces that she's known to trust her whole life are white faces.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, again, you know, what does it mean to take someone with brown skin and plop them in the middle of an all-white town? Like, what does that do to them? And is that something that families should consider? And, you know, I love that they found another Asian family to, you know, be friends with her. That's a great step. But clearly, it wasn't enough to make her comfortable in her own skin.
Mm-hmm.
So beautifully said. Also, that brings up, like, something that I thought about with the movie, which is this idea of, A, I think you talked about it, the idea of like being a person of color who's in white spaces for a lot of the time, and then being placed in an area where it's just people like you, like, that feeling is different. It is like a breath of fresh air. You're just like, oh, I didn't know that I was keeping something from myself. So I like that was visually there. And
well, I think that just white supremacy is just so apparent and everywhere, especially where we live, that to comprehend being in a space that isn't overwhelmed by whiteness, I mean for all brown people, I think it's a shakeup for sure.
Absolutely. And then the idea of, at one point in time in the movie, Audrey goes to Lolo and is like, if we weren't the only two Asian people in this class, we would not be friends. And I was like, ouch. But I was also like, I mean, like, are we lying? Is this a lie? So I don't know. It was, again, I just really appreciate this movie for not shying away from those moments.
Well, what I also love is that Audrey even has that moment where she starts questioning herself of like, you know, would I have strived to be the exceptional Asian if I wasn't put into a place where I was pointed at as the other, which is another kind of great commentary on, you know, the feeling of, you know, you have to become the best of the best in order to make it in a white world. Like it's a lot of pressure. And so, you know, kind of talking on that, her not being able to separate her identity from her trauma, I just thought was really interesting.
Mm. Right. Come on with the layered conversation.
It's this movie. Okay. Here's a fun thing. What was your biggest laugh throughout the film, because it isn't like a hilarious movie. Like we're talking about bigger dramatic stuff, but it's a funny film.
Oh gosh. I think a lot of it probably was Deadeye. And like,
Deadeye is great.
I think from Deadeye and Cat, I think. I think Cat, especially with what transpired after the K-pop dance, I was just like, I just gasped. Like,
where we see the inside of her vagina.
Yes, we do. The Pussy Tat. I love the name Pussy Tat. I thought that was amazing.
A great band name, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes. Tish, do you have a biggest laugh?
So I can't remember. It has to be tied between the threesome. Because again, that was just, that entire sequence was just very fun. And then also the reveal after the K-pop dance, because them singing Wet Ass Pussy in general was like fun. Yeah. And the changing of the lyrics and making like all of this, I was like, oh, this feels K-pop in the best ways. Mm-hmm. But then for it to end the way that it did again, and then for Clarence to show up,
yeah,
all the pieces were there for me. I just had a really good time.
I agree. A different one? I agree with all of you. I loved all of those scenes. I have to say that train sequence really was the one that had me. When she just blew cocaine on them and said, "This is your problem now," and they were just like, "Hey, there's two ways we can do this. You can either play or you can hide. You got to pick one. What's it gonna be?" And just that moment of just, you were just having a comfortable ride with your friends, and now all of a sudden you're just like, am I putting something in my ass right now? Is that what's happening? Like, just that whole thing, the predicament of it was just really.
I also, speaking of the drugs, I think Stephanie, and this is a testament that Stephanie Hsu's just acting, like, just her talent is so superior. Like, when that cocaine, but like, just bursted,
yes,
in her ass, her face was,
you
just
knew what happened before,
laughing, yeah, just like how she's just struggling to just. And the fact that it was said earlier was like, cocaine makes me horny. And then that's when you knew. And then everything, just the pieces, everything was a setup where Alex Hodge's character comes in and then you're just like, oh no. And you're just like,
the moment Todd showed up, you're like, oh girl. But again, I really liked that she didn't have sex with Todd.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a very easy way for them to go. Yeah. And instead they actually had her.
They flirted around it.
They flirted around it. But I'm just saying, like,
there's a vibrator involved.
Hey, we're not talking about what counts. We're talking about
the different area that, codes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I had a question. So kind of like wrap us up with the movie. What's your favorite like group trip movie? Like, again, we've been talking about this movie. Like, what is your favorite?
I think the go-to obviously for me be Hangover. Or,
okay.
Obviously Girls Trip. I mean, yeah, like the quintessential ones, Girls Trip, Bridesmaids. This movie makes me want to watch more of that genre. Just it's just so fun. Like it's just so fun. It doesn't take stuff too seriously. But I think those three were my favorite.
I'll say Bridesmaids as well. I think that's a good one.
Bridesmaids is a really good one. And this, like, they kind of have parallels in the sense that, like, it's both raunchy, but you also have heart. And you have story arc, which you don't always get with these.
And conflict within the internal friend group, jealousy and overcoming all of that, self-absorption, like all of that being kind of directed at.
And yeah, just actually calling out your friend. Like I love a good like friend road trip movie where like at some point in time you examine the friendship. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, are we friends? Is this just something that we've been doing? And like, you don't always get that. After I said all of that, my answer is not what it should be, which is just Euro Trip. I mentioned it earlier. I find that one so funny and ridiculous, and it's like the one I quote the most. But I was getting a lot of girl trip vibe from this, and I forgot about Bridesmaids.
You know, Seth Rogen produced this. He also produced Superbad, which is a premise about two best friends who have different paths in life, and one of them is holding back that they might be moving and living with another friend, and they don't find that out until later in the film. I was like, Seth, did this happen to you, bro? Like,
it had to have, right?
Is this trauma? Let's explore.
Lastly, Marmar, I wanted to ask you, as you know, we are Brum Meets World, we do the Boy Meets World fan cast. What's your history and relationship with Boy Meets World? Like,
I think every year I have to watch. It's I know it's not a Halloween episode in that sense, but
which one you're talking about?
A Halloween episode, and to me, like, it's the like that the Halloween episode with Sean and like him. I think it just
and then there was Sean. It's what it's
and
called.
Then there was Sean. That's what it was. I absolutely love that episode and just what transpires through. Obviously, just like playing into all the Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer, like tropes. Speaking of that movie, obviously Jennifer Love Hewitt's in it. And it was, I think, dating, I think, Will Ferrell
at
that time. Was, so that made it, that was, I think, just the stars aligning there. That was such a fun episode. I think when I watched it growing up, that actually generally made me scared. It was a very, it was scary to me a little bit. Like growing
it really
up,
was.
Yeah, there was a, like horror elements were just played so well for a children's show. So, yeah, that's.
We talk about that episode all the time. It just it has a life of its own. Like even separate from the series, that episode just is a standalone that works.
And it's really upsetting that like whoever wrote that didn't do more, or like the cast didn't do more of it. It's so iconic of an episode. And the
well, we've learned that they've tried and they failed to recreate it.
Yeah, absolutely, they tried and they failed. Mm. But I'm just like, I don't feel like it was the same writer, was it?
I don't know. The one who did the Truman Show episode, I think, was different. But
Yeah.
You know, Marmar, I do have one last question for you, and it's not Boy Meets World related, but, you know, you were saying earlier that you rarely see movies where you feel like there's an authentic Asian representation. I was wondering if you could maybe share with our listeners some movies or shows that you feel like do an excellent job at representation.
Put me on the spot here. I mean, a go-to I will always say is Everything Everywhere All at Once. And I think it's just because, I think not just of the, I think the Asian immigrant experience, but also just the in terms of the generational like differences, like between Michelle Yeoh's character and of course Stephanie Hsu's character as well too, being, you know, a child of immigrants and trying to find her own like footing and then like still having conflicts with her mother on like that identity crisis. I think Stephanie Hsu's character, Jobu Tupaki, like I think it's a incredibly representative of just someone who doesn't have their shit together and is like just trying to like navigate the world and like just be, you know, just like on the back of her own trauma and just trying to figure out who she is. I think that's Everything Everywhere for sure. I think right now American Born Chinese, if you it's on Disney Plus right now. I think that also has I love Michelle Yeoh and I love Stephanie Hsu and they're both But I think that like just when they
that's out, kind of like an Everything Everywhere at Once reunion.
It really is. Ki Kwan's also in it. Like I think they just like they just put every they put the gang back together in American Born Chinese. But that one also is like good at balance. I think just balancing the American Born aspect of American Born Chinese, where it's like, you know, just being like Asian American and just navigating the world, and also through like just like these kids are in middle school, so it's set like these like teenagers, this Chinese American boy who kind of gets wrapped up in the mystical. It's kind of like Wendy Wu Homecoming Warrior,
yeah,
with American Dragon Jake Long. That's how I've described it, and it's a
that's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
And that's American Born Chinese, and I think if you love those two pieces of media growing up as I did, I think you would like American Born Chinese as well too. It's also refreshed for, I guess, like, you know, the it's more relevant to today's like standards as well too.
Sure,
so.
Sure.
Definitely. I've wanted to check that out forever. It like literally is like in my what is it called, your list or whatever on Disney Plus, because I just felt like I fell in love with Everything Everywhere All at Once last year, and then to see so much of the cast was involved, I was like, I definitely want to check this one out. T had his last question. We should let you go, but I have one more, which is like you just brought it up and it made me think of it. When was the first time you, I would say, felt represented on television? Like, we always talk about the fact that we got into Boy Meets World because, like, it we identified and we connected with it. And we were like, this isn't, like, it's not of a a black boy, but something about like having that curly hair and like not feeling like everyone else just really, it really hit for us, but we didn't see ourselves on television represented until years later. Do you have like a moment where you like felt reflected on TV?
Our movies.
Oh gosh. I'm glad that you said Boy Meets World. It's just because just not like just in terms of like surface level, just being able to kind of connect with those characters on that level of like, I'm not just being at surface level, but also just who you are in that identity. Oh gosh. I would say, I mean, I was a Disney Channel like girly growing up as well too. So I would say like one of the like the shows that truly resonated with me would be like Lizzie McGuire or like Kim Possible.
I knew it. Lizzie was that girl.
She was.
I think, I mean, it was just like being able to just, I mean, I relate to the awkwardness of Lizzie McGuire and her navigating middle school. And I kind of just felt there's a lot of comfort and like solace in just knowing that, okay, I don't need to have all of my stuff together when I get into middle school, and just like being able to make mistakes and like, you know, just be awkward and like, you know, like what I like and have these friendships. And then Kim Possible is one of those where I just think I just idolized her life and just wanting to like, I mean, she's a cheerleader, but she also fought crime. It was just something that you can have it all. But I think just also just her ambition and just her ability to like her selflessness and wanting to help others also was something that was truly inspiring too. And I also would say Wendy Wu Homecoming Warrior as well too. Like Brenda Song is like, that's the blueprint for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I love those answers. First, I just thought of it while you heard it say, which is Lizzie McGuire was like the Carrie Bradshaw for tweens. Like she really was. She was
I was thinking of it as Lizzie was kind of like the girl equivalent of Corey Matthews in a way, in terms of going to school and being awkward. Like she was before Girl Meets World. I think that's probably the closest thing to like a girl version of Boy Meets World in a lot of ways.
I completely agree. That's a very good way of putting that. Thank you so much, Marmar. Is there anything else you want to tell our listeners? Anything else that they should know? Anything you want to promote?
Anywhere they can find you?
Oh, yes. So I am Marmarisa on TikTok, Instagram, as well as Serialized and Letterboxd. I'm also on Threads.
Hey.
Day two, day three. Right.
Just love the early adapters.
Like just trying to navigate that as like amongst the other 10 million that I'm joining the app. So check me out anywhere there. Just ranting and just overanalyzing everything that I love. So
in all honesty, we appreciate you. And then also we would love to have you on for like a different episode. In general, I went through and I stalked you on TikTok and I saw you cover everything, girl. So
Let me know. Yeah, I would always be happy to be talking to anyone basically about anything, all these movies and TV shows. So yeah, but it was so nice to meet you both. Yeah, TC and Siege. So yeah, till we meet again.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
I enjoyed that. That was so much fun.
Honestly, I'm so glad that we got her. She added so much to the conversation. And you're right. We definitely need to have her back because she clearly knows what the hell she's talking about with the movies and everything.
She did. And then also, like, I feel like, as you said, she brought in a perspective that was so important when you're talking about a movie like this. Like, as we always say, we are two people of color and we can't speak for everyone. So it was really nice to have someone else to be able to come on, give a voice to the Asian American community. And also I encourage more podcasts to do this. Like I know that we were hesitant because we couldn't, and it's just like, well, people are out there, you know, like,
well, also like, I think it adds to our conversation because we could have talked about this movie and we would have been talking about it from our perspective and our worldview and our history, and like we would not have had just the insight of someone who lives the culture. And
absolutely
it makes it a richer experience for us in our conversation, and I hope it adds more for our listeners to think about when they're watching the movie or talking about it.
Absolutely. I remember I was listening to one podcast and they were like, they were a very white podcast. And they were like, well, we wanted to do this one black movie, but we didn't really have anyone to bring on. And then if we did, we didn't want them to be brought on just for a black movie. And I was like, all right, well then have them on for more than the black movie. It's like, it's not that hard. And like, I hope that more content creators do the same, where it's just like, you know, take that chance, invite people. They're out there. They're making content. You just got to find them. You got to do a little bit of work.
And you guys can see that we are not shy about reaching out to content creators, people of color who are out there creating and doing their thing. If we like what they have on, we're like, yo, come, let's get you on the pod. Let's talk. So, you know, we're definitely doing our part to just try to encourage more diversity. And we hope that we see more of it, like you said, because I really truthfully feel like these two movies, The Blackening and Joyride, the highlights of the summer in terms of comedies.
Absolutely. So please, if you have recommendations for us, send them our way. You can reach out to us at Brum Meets World on all the places. Email us at brummeetsworld@gmail.com. You guys, check us out. We appreciate you so much. Buy our merch. Subscribe to our YouTube. Do all the things.
Other than that, I feel like we can ask them to dream.
Please dream.
Maybe we should also ask them to try.
You should try again in the words of Aaliyah.
and maybe they should also do good.
You know what? I say you do good.
Okay. All right. So all right. Guys, you got your assignment. Dream, try, do good.
Later, Russ.
Later, boo.
You can just hit end. When this boy meets world.